Blog Talk Radio.
Including tonight, three more shows before the end of the year.
Wow.
And another cool thing I was noticing today that, I mean, we've been doing this show now for better than 2.5 years. Oh, wow. We just clicked over to 100,000 listens on
our
shows. That went
fast.
Wow,
that's great. Wow, thanks, Reverend.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Listening in.
So they either love us or just you.
Oh, it's probably just me.
Probably. Well, tonight, we're glad everybody could join us for this live broadcast, or if you're listening to the archive, that's great. Welcome. We welcome those in the chat room. And if you'd like to call in tonight, the numbers are on your screen. We're going to be taking calls. And let's see, what else? If you've got questions, you can also type them in the chat room. Tonight, we welcome back our friend, psychic lawyer Mark Anthony. He's been on the show several times. And just a great guest, a lot of knowledge.
One of our all-time favorite guests.
That's right. And we're going to say all that stuff, and he's going to pay us later. I know.
Yep.
So without any further ado, Mark, welcome back to the program.
Hey, thanks, Doug. Thanks, Grant. It's great being here. I have such a good time with you guys.
Yeah, we do too.
Well, vice versa. We enjoy having you here, Mark, as much as our audience does.
So tonight we're going to be... Go ahead. Go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to congratulate you on the popularity of your show.
Yeah.
I think that that's a testament to, see, what you guys do is you push the envelope and you make it really interesting, and it's not just sort of, you know, bland and boring. You guys don't play it safe, and I think that that's really good because it makes it more interesting for the listeners. So kudos to you guys.
Well, thanks.
Well, thank you very much. That's very kind of you.
And I don't know how, you know, where that number stacks up with other programs on there, but you know, it's a lot of listens, so 100,000, I'll take it, and we appreciate everybody's support on this. So tonight we're going to be talking about a in my opinion, a fascinating topic, and that is the value of psychic readings, but especially, you know, what do we make when those psychic readings are less than accurate? And any psychic worth their salt will tell you that they're never 100% accurate. Am I right, Mark, or am I right?
You're absolutely right.
It's one of those two. I mean,
yeah. Nobody is 100% accurate, and I mean, I don't know anybody in any field that is always right, always 100%.
I think that's a good point.
And and the same thing goes for psychics as well. And there's a lot of reasons for discrepancies in accuracy, but I'll let you ask the question.
Well, the first question I'd like to ask you is, can you just kind of give everybody a little bit of your background and what you do and where you're at and your website real quick and for a refresher?
Sure. I'm based in East Coast, Central Florida, and my website is www.healgriefwithbelief.com. Or thepsychiclawyer.com. Both of those will direct to my site. And my name is Mark Anthony, and I am an attorney, and I'm also a psychic medium. So what that means is that not only do I practice law, which I do pretty much during the day, but at night I am a psychic medium, which means I communicate with the spirits of people who have physically died.
Yep, and that's it in a nutshell, my friend, so that's good. And, of course, we'll be taking your calls tonight. If you want to get a quick reading, you're more than welcome to call in. We'll try to work those calls in as we get through our discussion. But let's talk about, first of all, the value of psychic readings. And we'll limit it to that kind of that field for just a moment. Mark, in your opinion, what is the value of psychic readings? What can they do for somebody?
Well, what I'd like to do is say that there's a difference between a psychic reading and a mediumistic reading. A psychic reading is where you want to find out what's going on with you, your love life, career, personal things. Whereas a mediumistic reading is where you have someone like me facilitate communication with the other side, in other words, with those who have died. So let me take this in a two-step approach. The value of a psychic reading is that it can give you insight into what's going on in your life and to help you make a decision. Now, should you be, and there's a thing that we refer to as a psychic junkie, because I know some people that, they live their whole life by, well, the psychic told me this, the psychic told me that, my astrological chart told me this, the fact remains we have free will, and we should be making up our own decisions and make up our own mind. Yet the intuition and the information provided by a psychic can help you arrive at that decision.
Maybe you also have to rely on your own, too. You know, that's part of the way that the whole tapestry seems to work, don't you think, Mark? I'm not downplaying the value of it. I think that people like those junkies are the folks that want a roadmap for everything. You know, they want a nice, they want a color between the lines. And you know, I think that when you guys are doing readings, a lot of times you're getting impressions of people. And I think it's also important for the folks not to lose sight of the fact that somebody may not reveal to you. Maybe they may be guarded in their approach, which might make it doubly hard to read them.
Absolutely. And I think, Grant, one of the first times I was on your show, we were talking about you and your how you use your gut instinct. And, you know, with women, you know, there's no hesitancy for a woman to listen to her so-called women's intuition, which is simply another label for psychic ability, because their intuitive feelings and emotional waves and things like that. And women are socialized to be more receptive to listening to those things. But then we got into the discussion, and with men, and I think we're talking about how you do things, Grant, is men don't like to use the word intuitive or emotional. We would rather use the term gut feeling or instinct. And instinct's very Rambo, very, you know, Arnold. You know, it's a god instinct. I'm going to go and find, you know.
So we go with
all instinct, not like those little girly men with the intuition. And so we follow it that way. But that is still a form of psychic ability. So you're absolutely right that you need to be listening to yourself, because those feelings are coming to you through vibrational energy, and it is your soul, your spirit, which is receiving that information. A lot of people like to think that your soul is something that you have. It's like, you know, car keys.
Right.
You have car keys because you have a car. The fact remains that the soul is what you are. And so when those intuitive feelings and that vibrational energy comes through, you need to listen to it. And most of the people that I ask wish they would listen to their gut feelings or their intuition more.
Mm-hmm.
So from that standpoint, yes, you have to listen to that. Psychics can help you arrive at decisions, but they should not replace your own free will and your own ability to make a decision.
And that's absolutely true. In fact, I just completed a course for my Metaphysics Institute on psychic development, and I went into it thinking, wow, you know, I'm just not going to have a lot to go into. I mean, you know, if you want to develop psychic ability, there's, you know, a couple of ways, and, you know, but man alive, it's turned out to be one of the longest courses I've done, and there's just so much to it, and some of the things you're talking about are absolutely true, because, and I love your term psychic junkie, and that's exactly what I've seen and observed over the years with certain psychics. People follow them and want to know what their, you know, what their vision is, or psychic reading, or their information, their impressions, because people, you know, part of human nature is people want to be led. They want to be guided, right? That's part of the deal. I mean, not for everybody, of course, but
it's true. It reminds me of my favorite, one of my favorite movies of all time was the Monty Python movie, The Life of Brian.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of religious people looked at it as blasphemy. I looked at it as a very clever commentary on people and the gullibility of people. And long story short, there's this guy, Brian, and a lot of people think that he's the Messiah, and it's set in biblical times. And he's running, and they're all chasing him. And he says, "Go away." And they go, "Why?" He goes, "Well, I'm not the Messiah." And John Cleese goes, "Well, I say you are. I should know. I followed a few."
Yeah. <that's...
clears throat> Yeah, like the witch routine from the Holy Grail.
Exactly. She's a witch. Why? Because she has a wart. You know, it's jumping to these conclusions. But on the other hand, psychic intuition can be very good. And the question is, if we, as psychics, if we can see the future, does that mean we can change things? And I don't know if that's possible. It is widely believed in the metaphysical community that Abraham Lincoln, our 16th president, was indeed a psychic, because he was well known to have premonitions.
Uh-huh.
And while he was in the White House, he kept having a recurring dream that he would walk into the East Room of the White House and he'd hear women crying and a guard standing next to a coffin. And he said to the guard, "Who is that?" And the guard would say, "It's the president. Somebody assassinated the president." And when he would look into the coffin, he would see himself lying there. Well, Lincoln had this dream on several occasions, to the extent where he began to talk about it and confided in his press secretary, John Hay, who wrote this in his journal, which was published after Lincoln's passing. Now, then there was Jean Dixon, probably the most influential psychic advisor. I think she started advising FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and then she also advised John F. Kennedy and Richard Nixon. So she spanned, what's that, like three, four decades. And she said in 1956 that a tall, thin Democrat with blue eyes and bushy brown hair would become our next president. Well, 4 years later, John F. Kennedy, who fits that physical description, becomes president. And she kept having bad feelings about something that was going to happen to JFK, and she kept trying to warn him, and she kept telling him, "Do not go to Dallas, do not go to Dallas." And being a good Catholic, he ignored her because, you know, you don't talk to people like that.
Yep.
And then it was on that, I think it was November 24th, correct me if I'm wrong, but it was 1963, it was 23rd, 24th, it was right around Thanksgiving. And she was somewhere. She was not in Dallas. She said to a group of people, she goes, "This is the day it's going to happen." And then a couple hours later on the news, it was all over that Kennedy had been assassinated.
Hmm.
Now, she could see this. She was trying to warn them, but she couldn't change this. And I could go on and on and on with examples like that. But I don't know if we can change the future. But then there have been instances where somebody was warned by a psychic and they avoided a situation that would have resulted in a fatality.
The way that makes sense to me is that a psychic may be able to predict probabilities based on current circumstances, but that does not negate free will. If we change our current circumstances or our current path, it's going to change the future, and those probabilities will change.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Offer up, you roll the dice, and then, you know, the person, you know, chooses their own path based on just information you've given them from impressions or feelings. And, you know, I think that's the part that's left out a lot of times. How I think, and maybe I'm wrong, Mark, correct me if I am, I just think that's got to be, for a person with your abilities, that's got to be one of the first things you pick up. There must be that feeling of where that person's coming from, and that's going to lead to whether you can dig a little bit deeper. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, it does. It does. Now, most of the readings that I do involve spirit communication as opposed to getting into the energy of a person
mm-hmm.
and trying to divine, if you will, or foresee, if you will, things that are going to happen to them, although I can do that, and I do that. I was in this one group, it was like a psychic circle, where a friend of mine, she was teaching the class. She's very, very interesting. Her name's Reverend April Rain, R-A-N-E. And for people that want a great psychic or mediumistic reading, April Rain, R-A-N-E.com. I highly recommend her. We refer people back and forth. What April... She was teaching class, and on a break, this one woman was talking to me, and all of a sudden I started getting this severe pain in my lower abdomen. But I realized that it wasn't me. I was picking up on something going on with this woman. Because it didn't feel like a male problem. It felt like an issue with female plumbing, shall we say.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, look, you know, I'm getting this feeling from you, and I described what it was. And she goes, that's very interesting, because just last week I was diagnosed with ovarian cancer.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, and it's weird because, you know, you pick up on the energy field of another person. And I've done that a lot in my life. I was talking to somebody, I go, oh, you got a problem with your left knee. And they look at me and they go, how the heck do you know that?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
You know, I don't want to say, well, I'm psychic and I'm reading you, because it's kind of, you know, it's for the etiquette. You know, you're not supposed to just go around reading people, but, you know, we do.
Well, you know, what leads to that leads me to ask you the question, Mark, because what I was kind of getting at about feeling that person out is that when you do a reading on somebody, can anybody come through, or does that person's vibration and energy have something to do with who comes through, whether it's, say, I guess, whether it's a relative or an ancestor or just a kindly spirit guide? How does that work?
That's an excellent question, and I appreciate that, Grant. I don't conjure or summon anybody. However, the person that comes to see me, they're the one that brings the spirits, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And what I do in my training is that before I do readings, I meditate and I pray, and I ask only that spirits that will be recognized by the person and who come to bring messages of love, healing, and resolution come through. Because let's say I'm doing a reading for Doug, and Thomas Jefferson comes through. Well, you know, we didn't know Thomas Jefferson. He, you know, he died like 200 years ago. So as interesting as that might be, it can't be verified, and essentially it is irrelevant to what's going on with Doug. But like if his uncle or cousin or whoever who passed comes through, and he can, based on the information I provide to him, say, yes, confirm that is, you know, cousin Joe, and if I give a description of Joe and information and so on and so forth, then that's what's relevant. But the thing is, it would be Doug who is the draw for the spirits. So I hope that answers your question.
It does, and you know, and let me just explain to you, one of the reasons why I asked that question was I was reading about some near-death accounts. And in one of the near-death experiences that a person had, they, and more than one, this is the first time I've read about this, but in this particular case, the lady, you know, saw a room full of people. And, you know, I mean, not, I'd say maybe 20, 30 people, I don't know, but there are a lot of people in the room. And she immediately recognized in her near-death experience the folks who were her family, her grandparents and everything else. But she left with the impression after her near-death experience that the folks that were in there that she didn't recognize were her ancestors or her great-grandparents, who she was going to get to know when she crossed over on the other side, but were there. You know, and I guess that's what I was kind of getting to, was like, if those people come through. But I can also see it from the standpoint where, you know, you don't know what's coming through. You know, it could be something totally unrelated, but, you know, it's like I said, like a spirit guide that has no relationship to the person other than it's, you know, wants to communicate.
And that's entirely possible. I was doing a reading for a woman one time, and I said, well, there's a gentleman coming through, and he's some type of uncle, but this is way back. And I go, and I'm seeing images of the Titanic, and he's dressed like the people on the Titanic did. I said, I don't understand this. And this particular person I was reading for was a real quirky lady and real sharp tongue. You know, you'd say things to her and she'd, like, you know, say really nasty things. Well, this really got her attention. And she said, that's really fascinating. What can you tell me about him? And so I gave as much information as I could. Long story short, she was doing a genealogy of her family, and there was an uncle that was like the missing link, and he died in 1912, which is when the Titanic sank.
Uh-huh.
And he's the one that came through, and he gave a couple facts that basically filled in the information that she needed to know.
Well,
but of course, I mean, she never met him. I mean, you know, she's only in her 50s. I mean, so certainly, you know, he died in 1912. That was decades before she was even born. So in that particular context, even though she never knew the guy, the contact was still relevant. So, yeah, people can come through, great-grandparents, great-great-grandparents. I've had readings done when I was in England, and was it a great-grandfather? Either a great-grandfather or a great-great-grandfather came through. Now, I knew who he was based on the description, because he was a Baptist minister. And, you know, I knew what he did and all that. So I knew who it was, although he had died probably about 40 years before I was born. So I thought
uh-huh.
that was pretty interesting.
Uh-huh. Yeah. All right. We have a caller on the line from Pennsylvania. Welcome to the program. What's your first name?
Bill.
Bill, how are you?
Welcome to the program,
pretty good, pretty
Bill.
Do you have
Thanks.
A question
yeah,
or
actually,
looking for a reading?
For I guess you say both. I guess it would be like a pretty short reading. I've been starting to dream a lot. 46 years old, and I've had dreams before, but never this consistent. You know what I'm saying? And it's dreams of my past, just like in the dream world. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's
okay.
Nothing, like, it isn't like, you know, places I used to be or things like that, just familiar people. So
okay.
I'm trying to figure out why that's happening, because I've noticed, you know, it's definitely a big change in my normal brain function.
So, all right, are these memories in this particular lifetime that you're getting? I need a little bit more explanation. I'm not really sure the nature of the dream.
Actually, past things that I've done, just in
okay.
a different, you know, same city, right, but this different... A different street, you know what I'm saying? A different environment, more or less.
So it's almost like a sense of deja vu, Bill? Is that what you're getting?
like
you've been there before?
More of a sense of the same thing could have happened, just at a different place. Like the same
yeah,
conversation.
You know what that is?
What is that?
What's really fascinating about this, Bill, is that your inner self, your subconscious, if you will, is doing exactly what you just said. It's giving like an alternate universe, a what if. And it's sort of an introspective reflection that if I'd taken this different path, what would have happened in my life? Now,
that's not a regret.
Yeah, and it's not a regret. It's simply a what if. And a lot of people sit there, you know, consciously and go, oh, what if I'd taken that job, or what if I'd married that woman, or what if I'd done this? And they do it in a conscious state, whereas what you're doing is on a subconscious level.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost as if you're projecting to a parallel dimension, parallel universe. Now, I'm not going to get into whether or not those things exist, but I think that's really fascinating.
What I found fascinating is it goes as far back as my father, and he died like... God, probably 12, 13, 14, 15 years ago. So it goes back that far, you know, like with the what if. So it's just basically...
Well, what you're doing is your spirit is reaching out to him, and he's connecting with you on that level. And what he wants you to know is that you're perfect the way you are, okay? And this is very weird because it's kind of like bread and butter. Your father was a very, like, bread and butter kind of guy, a very nuts and bolts. He wasn't frilly or fancy. He was very direct, very practical, and very pragmatic, okay? He was also very fascinated by you and the way that your mind works. He didn't always understand because you have a tendency to think in almost a three-dimensional manner where you're just not, you just don't accept things on face value. You have a much more complex way of looking at it. And your father wasn't quite like that, but he found that to be one of the most interesting aspects of you. And so what's happening is your spirit is reaching out on this, gee, what if I would have done this? And what your father wants you to know is, you don't have to do that. You're fine just the way you are. And he does approve of you. He does accept you. And he wants you to know he's very proud of you. Okay? And he says that you've never let him down in any shape, form, or fashion. And what's also interesting is I keep seeing like an iron skillet. So I don't know if your father ate a lot of food like cooked in an iron skillet, but it's a very kind of basic... very, very almost, I don't want to say folksy, but a very, gosh, how can I say this, almost rustic way of approaching things. So that's what's coming through. It's very complex. It's quite interesting.
Right. And then the question I had, and this actually kind of will probably confirm for you of how you read me, is... I'm actually doing some research on where somebody does a mental algorithm. In other words, you know, you sit somebody down in front of you and you go with the information that you get and then you do, and then the algorithm is done. And, you know, some people can actually do this. It appears. You know what I'm saying? And I'm just trying to prove that.
Well, what you're doing is in an unconscious or subconscious. I don't like to say unconscious because your consciousness is always there. It's just in altered states. Is you're manifesting it through this alternate universe. And that's what I'm saying, how I picked up on you think, or what your father is saying, you think in this three-dimensional manner, is that through this mathematical sequencing, you're aware that there are a multitude of dimensions. And what you're doing is, thought-wise, you're projecting yourself in an alternate universe. And what's cool about it is you're not getting into, oh, if I lived on Mars and had purple hair. No, you're projecting it on familiar things that you know. So, in other words, we're talking the difference between your life here and your life in that dimension is the flip of a page as opposed to an entirely different book.
Oh yeah,
does that make sense?
Actually, I think that's fluent, which seems to be consistent within my experiments anyway. Like one bad thought for 5 minutes can alter like so much. It's crazy.
Well, great.
Yeah, but you know, I'm sorry. Go ahead, guys.
No, go ahead, Mark.
Well, you're absolutely correct. You know, the power of positive thinking can do incredible things.
Well, no,
yeah,
I'm actually,
absolutely.
My research is in the negative thinking and actually becoming addicted to being depressed, addicted to anxiety, addicted to being a victim, things like that, you know, almost like you were addicted to morphine.
Well, the thing is, thoughts are energy, and it's interesting that you're probing into negative thoughts because, you know, in the way I try to program myself is keep your thoughts positive, because then your feelings become positive, your words become positive, and so on and so forth. But the feelings are neither good nor bad until you act upon them. So if you can analyze the negative thinking and why some people do get addicted to being depressed and do get addicted to being the victim mentality, and then teach them how to reprogram their thinking away from that. Because when you do start thinking in negative terms, not only are your moods and makeup going to become sour, you're also going to manifest physical illnesses, which you don't want to do.
Well, thanks for calling in, Bill. Did you have any other questions?
Yeah, I really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Have a great
Nice talking with you.
Take care, Bill.
All right, so we are talking with psychic lawyer Mark Anthony and having an interesting discussion on various things such as the value of psychic readings and how to view them when they're less than accurate. Let's get into that a little bit. You know, we were talking a little bit in the beginning about accuracy. Do you have any kind of a feel for how accurate a good psychic might be? Any kind of a ballpark percentage or figure? I mean, you may or may not. I'm just asking.
Yeah, that question gets thrown out a lot, and it's funny because I always look at other mediums, Facebook pages and web pages, and I'm not going to name any names. I'm 90% accurate, you know, and it's like, no, you're not. you're not, because nobody is 90 or 100% accurate or something like that. The accepted value is somewhere around 70%. Now, if we were in school, what's 70%? A D or a C or something like that? And so that's where people who are skeptical says, aha, you know, that's why you guys are all phonies. But the thing is, speaking as a medium, one who communicates with spirits, spirits are never wrong. What's wrong or what is inaccurate is the medium's interpretation of the information. Let me explain. When a spirit communicates with me, a spirit is vibrating frequency, intelligence, and information. I receive that information through my intuitive senses, and then based on my cultural references, memories, and emotions, I translate that into recognizable information. And sometimes I can interpret it incorrectly. Just the other day, last night, I was doing a reading for somebody, and her grandmother came through, and her grandmother said something about asparagus. And I go, oh, she's showing asparagus. And I did, which I always promised myself not to do. I go, you must like asparagus. And she goes, I hate asparagus. Okay? So the concept was asparagus. Asparagus was significant, but I misinterpreted saying you like asparagus when the real message was she didn't like asparagus, and because her grandmother was the only person who knew she hated asparagus, that was an identifying piece of information. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely.
So right there, if I was quote-unquote being tested, they'd say, aha, you were wrong. Well, I got the information, I got the proper vibration, but then Mark stepped in and made a judgment call, which was wrong. I was working with a very high-profile medium out of the New York area, and we were on a TV show together, and we were doing joint readings, and this one person, and I'm a bit slower in my readings, not because I'm slow, but because I also realize you have to take your time with spirits and let the information build and not to jump to conclusions.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this particular psychic, and I love her to pieces, she's really fantastic and really good, and we were talking about this on the show, a spirit came through, and it was the spirit of a policeman who was related to this person. And she goes, okay, so-and-so's coming through, he's a police officer. And the client says, yes. He was shot to death. And the person goes, no. He says, well, I hear shots. He was shot to death. He was shot in the line of duty. And he said, no. And I said, no, that's not it. We're talking brandy. And so they look at me, what do you mean brandy? And the lady says, well, the client says, my uncle or whoever he was a police officer, and he was at a bar doing shots when he had a heart attack and died.
Okay. Yeah, that's interesting.
Well, the other psychic saw a police officer, heard shots, immediately assumed he was shot in the line of duty, okay? But what he was saying is, I was doing shots.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where inaccuracy comes, is in the interpretation.
Yeah, and that makes perfect sense. So for those who are learning to speak their own language, if you will, or to speak the language of this kind of thing, it's a matter of looking at those symbols, those impressions that are showing, because it's a symbolic language as much, right?
Oh, very, very much so. You know, we see things, we feel things, and sometimes we hear things. I mean, sometimes I get a complete fascinating. I did a reading for a lady like 3 years ago, and it was her son who died of a drug overdose. Very, very sad situation. He was a, you know, really nice young kid. And he was at a college party, and somebody gave him something. He thought it would be fun. Instead, he had a bad reaction, and it killed him. And I did a reading for her like 3 years ago. And then recently I was at an art show, and I'm walking down the street. It was an outdoor art show, and I was drawn to this one area where people were doing sidewalk art. Anyway, I walk up, and there's this lady doing sidewalk art, and I go, "Wow, you're really talented." And she looks up. She goes, "I know you," and I recognize her. It was the lady from 3 years ago. Uh-huh. And she it was one of these things where I was directed to this particular person.
Synchronicity.
Oh, my gosh. It was really something. So we're talking, and she goes, "I really want to thank you for connecting to my son." I go, "You know, he's got another message for you." And I said, "I know this sounds corny, but I'm hearing that Beatles song, Hey Jude, particularly this line, you take a sad song and you make it better."
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, and I could see the tears in her eyes, and she goes and she pulls her business card out, and she hands it to me. And she's an artist who goes by the name of Jude.
Mm.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh, my God. Like, the cold chills. And she goes, "Now I know that was from my son." And she goes, "I'm so glad you showed up, because 2 days from now would be 9 years to the day that he died." Now, in that particular instance, I mean, I was just walking down a street. And normally I don't go and look at sidewalk art, but I was directed right to her. Her son's spirit wanted to make that connection and then gave me an incontrovertible piece of evidence to guarantee, you know, to mm-hmm. verify that that was him, okay? And luckily, you know, I like the Beatles, and when I heard "Take a Sad Song and Make It Better," because what he wanted to say about her is, no matter how many times you get knocked down, you still get up. He died, she survived. Her husband's very ill, is going to die probably in the next year or so. She handles it. This poor lady has gone through so many tragedies, yet no matter what, she's able to take a sad song and make it better, metaphorically speaking. So then there's other times where, you know, this type of accuracy comes through. It's as much a surprise to me as it is to anybody else.
Well, you know, the beauty of it, Mark, is that I think when we experience things like that, it just goes to show us. I mean, and yours is, you know, I've had experiences that were not the same, but similar in a sense that when that happens, it should reinforce in all of our minds that we're all part of this incredibly complex and marvelous tapestry, and our lives are intertwined much more so than we ever think, you know, that how we touch each other. And when everything seems so random, and in reality, it's not random. It's not that random. It just, I guess to me, it's not that random. It seems like there's purpose at times. And, you know, there's a reason why you walked down that street. There was a reason why you know, you asked somebody a question or you know, just that kind of a meeting or that kind of a situation can cause all kinds of good things to happen.
Yeah, yeah. And that's one of the things I really loved about that movie, Avatar, is when they were talking about how everything is interconnected energetically.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And basically what they were doing, or James Cameron was doing, was taking concepts from Buddhism, how the
uh-huh.
entire
uh-huh.
network of the universe is, like you said, a very complex, intertwined, you know, tapestry, if you will. And we are all interconnected. And it would do the world a lot of good if we started realizing that. But here in the material world, we're really into us versus them. We're better than they are. They're infidels, you know, you're barbarians, blah, blah, blah.
So that they can't see the reality. And then when you have a situation like that, your gift allows us, or those who don't have that gift, allows us to see it. Or folks that are impacted by your gift, allow them to touch that. And I think that's a great gift if you can give that to somebody. I'm sure that woman was thrilled with that. And what didn't mean like a lot to you meant the world to her. So So the significance of that's wonderful.
Yeah, you know, and it's very humbling to be the custodian or to be the vessel, you know, because it's very easy. I've seen in psychic development classes that people that are good at this get very, very full of themselves. Like, look at me, I have superpowers. I belong in Slytherin, you know, and this type of thing. And it's like, you know, you can't look at it that way. It's there's nothing wrong in taking joy in the gift. But what you have to realize is be impressed by the ability, but do not be impressed by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like, you know, a telephone is a miraculous thing, but do you worship the telephone? No, certainly not. It's merely a conduit for energy to come through. And I'd say that most of the mediums that I know are not egotistical and full of themselves. I mean, you do, you know, you run into some people that are like that, but, you know, I think that's you know.
Well, here's a question.
You know, no man is an island. You know, that's basically what it boils down to.
Here's a question from the chat room, then we have a caller to take. This is from Kathy. She's saying that she had gone to a psychic one time and was told that she would have this encounter and meet this specific person. She would know it by specific action, in this case, him or her rolling up their sleeves. Apparently it was a him, I'm assuming. But her question is, and it happened just like the psychic would, but her question is that what was the purpose of meeting this person if it wasn't going to be the way I'd hoped? Was the purpose of her telling me this only to verify her own abilities and place more weight in other things, she said? Do you have any comment?
Well, a lot of times if a psychic says you're going to meet somebody, you know, that might change your life or you might learn something and you'll know this person because his sleeves will be rolled up or he'll be wearing a, you know, headband or whatever. It doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be Prince Charming who comes and gallops up on his horse to sweep you away to a life better than you could possibly understand it. It might be that this person, for good or for bad, you have an experience that does change your life, that you grow from, that you learn from, and that in the long run, you as a person have expanded and have grown because of that. Because a lot of times, I mean, I'll be on shows, I will spend 40 minutes talking about how I talk to dead people and I communicate with the spirit world, and then we have callers, and the first question, will I meet the love of my life? How's my job? I want a new job. I hate my job. So it's always career and love life. And I'm not downing people for wanting to know about that because, you know, your career and your love life are like the two major things in your life. So, of course, people think about those a lot. But, you know, and I might say, well, you're going to meet somebody, and you do meet somebody, but it wasn't the love affair that you said it was. Yeah, but maybe this guy burned you, and maybe you learned from that so that when you do meet somebody else, you'll know what to look out for, what to avoid, and who you should be looking for. So you can't always look at that one instance. You have to look at the big picture. I mean, we've all been through, and you guys don't have to give me any details, but speaking for myself, I've been through a couple of really lousy relationships. But I'll tell you what.
Of course.
I learn every time you learn for, and the next time around, you know, okay, red flag coming up. Hey, nice to meet you, you know.
That's why I'm talking to you from the monastery tonight, you know.
Well, yeah, you know, you may meet a girl, and you think, oh, wow, this is Cinderella, and she turns out to be Medusa, you know.
And you're absolutely right. That's all part of learning, I think, you know, and that's such a big part of it. It's really a deep subject, and you know, I think when people come and ask those questions like that, they're really missing the whole thing. They're really missing that, you know, ask something that's going to be more significant, or I think it's got to be. It would seem to me it'd be more gratifying when you have situations like you spoke of with that woman, where the spontaneity of it blows both people's minds and they realize the significance of it. That's what's got to be, mm-hmm. you know, the most gratifying part for you and at the same time the most surprising because you probably don't expect it either, you know? And it's just
no,
like
I mean,
you're this conduit, this incredible conduit that instead of in this, especially in this day and age, when people are separating, you kind of unite people, and that's really a good thing.
All right, let's take a caller. We have a caller from 215 area code, also in Pennsylvania. Welcome to the show. What's your first name?
Joe.
Joe?
Yes.
Welcome, Joe. Do you have a question? Or are you looking for a reading?
I've been pretty much focused on spirit communications, and I kind of got involved with the Frank's Box radio
mm-hmm.
that, it essentially sorts scrambled words from broadcasts.
And yep, we're familiar with it, yep.
Gives spirit messages. Well,
so what kind of messages are you getting?
Well, that's the funny thing. I've been building the a version of it, and I occasionally get words. And if I do any sessions with other people, they get messages. But I haven't spent a lot of time doing sessions myself. I've been more concerned in getting the boxes working and why they work and how they work. Because
so
I wanted...
What's your question for Mark?
Yeah, does he have any idea how his information gets to him? Because it's very similar to the same information that comes through on a box or another psychic.
Well, actually, it's probably different, but we'll let Mark answer that first part. How do you get your information, Mark?
Well, it's all frequency, and... Let me give you the Cliff Notes version, because this is something I could talk about for about 2 hours. Long story short, what you're doing is you're trying to create a device which tunes into the frequency known as the other side. And Thomas Edison was one of the first people who believed that this was possible. And radios and sensitivity equipment, at least the early ones, used quartz crystals and electricity flowing through it. Now, the theory is how mediums can do this is based on the pineal gland, which is in our brain. And recent studies, well, recent like over the last 10 to 20 years, they found calcite and magnetite crystals in the pineal gland. And we know that electricity flows through it. We also know it's a radio receptor. It produces alpha and theta waves and basically emits and transmits frequency. So basically, what I'm capable of doing is altering my brainwave frequency to essentially tune into the station that is known as the other side. Now, I know that's the theory as to how I do it, and I would assume that this particular device that was the Frank's Box is predicated on the same thing. So what mediums have been doing for thousands of years, eventually technology may be able to do. It's a good and bad thing. It's good because it will eventually prove that what we're doing is for real. It might be bad because, hey, put mediums out of business. So, somehow I don't think so, because being a medium is a very complex thing, and the communication with spirit is very complex. Because we can ask questions to go back and forth with the spirit and interact with them, whereas a device like that may just be able to receive, but I don't know. Because the spirits can hear us, we can ask questions, and maybe they can answer it for us.
Well, that's kind of the hypothesis behind Frank's Box, is that it's being spirit-directed, that only the stations with the right words will stop at those stations. Does that help at all with your question, Joe?
Well, it actually has more to do with the theory that I'm operating on, and that is that this intelligence is coming through random behavior rather than electronic signals. Because it started with EVP picking up on recorders, you know, picking up voices,
mm-hmm.
and there was no... there were experiments done to eliminate any outside electrical interference, and they still picked up voices. So it was essentially self-generated.
So and your I'm hypothesis that, is on the behavior of humans or spirits?
Well, that's what I'm wondering. If a psychic has kind of an internal sensitivity to random behavior, they may pick up the intelligence that is on it like a carrier, you know, like a radio signal, except that it's behavior rather than a physical field or energy.
Well, yeah.
I don't see it as a behavior. I mean, I can tell when a spirit is communicating with me and when a spirit adjusts his or her frequency, in other words, comes into the room, because my understanding and my belief is that spirits are a consciousness. They're a living entity. It's just that they're not in corporeal form. They're in energetic form. So what's fascinating is when, I was doing a reading today, and there were three spirits communicating simultaneously. One would talk, then he would step back, then one of the females would come forward and speak, and so on and so forth. And it's very interesting because it was like talking to, like the way we're talking right now with two, three different people. It's just that three of them didn't have bodies.
Yeah, I have that experience with devices that I'm working with. They talk to each other and they don't even talk to you. They just, there's like two or three voices talking to each other.
Go ahead, Mark.
Go ahead. No, I'd say, you know, they're busy over there. And I'll say you guys have the smartest audience that I've been on. I'd say all the callers, I mean, these are great questions and these are very intelligent people. So, hey, kudos, Joe, you know, keep working on it.
Yeah,
I will. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for calling in. Appreciate it. You have a great night.
Good night.
Thanks.
All right, so we're talking with Mark Anthony. We've only got a few minutes left, about eight or so. And so let's kind of do a summation of some of the things we've talked about. First of all, the value of psychic readings. Can you nutshell that for us? What's the value in psychic readings?
The value of psychic readings is to validate, confirm, and help guide decision-making processes and to bring ease of spirit and comfort into your life. The value of a mediumistic reading where you communicate with someone who has died is to prove that life is everlasting and to help you learn to let go of the pain and sorrow with the passing, but hold on to the love for the person that has passed, which can lead to the path to healing from the grieving.
And I'm forgive me if you alluded to this or mentioned it. It may have slipped by me. But also the value in psychic readings is to get you to think about what's going on, what's coming down the pike, or different things in your life. It kind of broadens your perspective a little bit and perhaps will guide you to other possible solutions to problems, etc.
Absolutely, and to let you know that there's so much more to the world, to the universe, than just what we experience on a daily basis and through our five physical senses of sight, hearing, taste, smell, and touch, and that you're not alone. And a lot of times people think my life is going nowhere, I don't count, I don't matter, but you know what, you do count, you do matter, and you're, as Doug and as you said, Grant, we're part of a much larger network, and we're all interconnected. And that's what these type of readings do, is they help you understand that. You do count. You do matter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think you're absolutely right on target there, Mark, because I think one of the problems is, and this isn't a new idea, is that, you know, a lot of people have said, you know, 20th century man, 21st century man is alienated, you know, and if anything, you know, a lot of people don't even know their neighbors, but if anything, this should strengthen the bond between us because we realize we do have something at a much, much deeper level than most people really think about. And I think that if you open your mind to the possibility, just by merely opening your mind, if you're a skeptic or you don't want to believe it, by opening your mind, you allow other thoughts to come in that are going to expand it. So,
are you?
A very good thing.
And then the last thing that we want to summarize too is, you know, what do we do, or what are people to do when the readings they get are less than accurate? What does that mean, and how can they perhaps still benefit?
prophecy is always subject to interpretation, and so you should listen to what the psychic says, but you should not run your life solely on psychic intuition. There have been, and I hate to use him as an example, but he's a good example. I mean, Adolf Hitler used to be consulted by, or consult with astrologers, and he's a whole thing. I could talk about him for a long time on a daily basis. And during the Battle of Stalingrad, Mercury was in retrograde, I believe, and he says, nope, the astrologer said I cannot attack and I cannot do this until a certain time. Meanwhile, the Russians hit him, annihilated his army, and dealt a blow that Hitler could never recover from. So on one hand, he was receiving psychic intuition, and he himself interpreted it exactly the opposite of what, mm-hmm. what was meant. On the other hand, maybe Stalin, mm-hmm. was consulting with somebody too. So, you've just got to take it as advice, but when it comes down to it, it's you who are responsible for you and your own decisions. Don't run your life by an astrology chart or by psychic intuition. Have faith in yourself and have faith first and foremost in God, and ask God to be your guide and to give you the strength to make your own decisions.
Okay, so we're coming down to the last couple, 3 minutes here, and interesting discussion, interesting things that hopefully will provoke our listeners to think more deeply on this topic. Next week, we have the topic, give me 1 second, Establishing Scientific Evidence of the Paranormal. Our guest will be Michael Baker, first time on the show. So we'll be looking forward to that. If you would like to learn more about Mark, mention your website once again, and you also have an upcoming book.
I do. My book and information about that will be posted on my website and on my Facebook page. My website is healgriefwithbelief.com, and you can also friend me on Facebook through there.
Very good. And if you'd like to hear more of Mark Anthony on Sunday, December 12th, he will be joining me on Empowering the Spirit Radio. If you'd like to know more about that, simply visit mchschurch.org, mchschurch.org, the details, and we'll be talking about psychic development techniques on that program. If you're not yet a Paranexus member, we'd love to have you join us. Just visit paranexus.org. Also, paranexusacademy.org has Paranexus is an association of anomalous researchers, and we really try to take a grounded, reasonable, and yet open-minded approach to anomalous research. We appreciate everybody who has listened to us live on the program tonight, as well as those who are listening to the archive, and we hope to have you join us again next week and the weeks following, and we'll learn more. Anyway, Mark, thanks so much for being on the program tonight again. Appreciate it.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure.
It's nice having you, Mark.
And Grant, until next week, my friend, you take care and have...
You too, Doug, and we'll look forward to having a show again and doing it all over and exploring scientific basis for the paranormal. Sounds like a lot of fun to me.
All right, everybody.
Have a great weekend, everybody.
Yeah, take care. Talk to you next week.